Planning Commission meeting, October 26, 2022.
Call to order, and let's go ahead and start with our roll call, starting with Rex.
Rex Stevens.
Rob Price.
Renee Morgan.
Steve Johnson.
And Thomas McIntosh, staff.
Shall we start with the Pledge of Allegiance?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So comments from the audience. Is there anyone needing to discuss anything not covered on the agenda? I guess not. Okay. Old business. Any old business?
No.
Madam Chair, we had a meeting last week and we kind of flushed out a lot of different items. And so there was nothing to put on the agenda for old business.
Okay, so new business is going to be Rodney Raymond requesting a conditional use permit for a 16-unit condominium complex.
Madam Chair, you don't have to read all that.
All
just,
that.
Just,
we'll just go ahead and start with
just the planning file number.
Okay.
And then move to the script. Yeah.
All right. So this is planning department file number 22W007. Okay. This part of the meeting is for public hearings. The Planning Commission will hear one public hearing tonight. The public hearing is in regards to a request for 16-unit multifamily development or condominiums. Planning Department file number 22W007. To ensure that these proceedings are conducted in a fair and orderly manner, state law has established rules and procedures governing the conduct of land use hearings. I'll now explain the procedures we will follow. This hearing will be conducted in the following order of events. We will first establish for the record the parties that are entitled to party status. Party status is important because it determines who is entitled to participate in the hearing and who has the right to appeal the Planning Commission's decision. People eligible for party status include the applicant, the property owner of the subject property, and owners of property within 150 feet of the subject property, or any other person who can demonstrate that they will be specially, personally, adversely, and substantially affected by the results of the hearing. We will next establish for the record that all members of the Planning Commission are able to participate in the hearing in a fair and objective manner. The Commission will then hear the written staff report. After that, the applicant's testimony will be heard first, followed by testimony from parties in favor of the application. The Commission will then hear from those parties who wish to speak in opposition to the application. After all testimony has been given, the applicant will be given an opportunity to respond to the testimony of the opposition. Testimony instructions. I want to stress that all testimony, including rebuttal, will be directed to the Planning Commission. Direct exchanges between opposing parties will not be allowed during the hearing. Questions may be asked at any time by members of the Planning Commission. Questions by the parties or city manager may be allowed by the president upon request. Testimony, arguments, and evidence given must be based on fact and directed toward the applicable criteria in the comprehensive plan, zoning ordinance, or subdivision ordinance, which the person believes to apply to the decision. All evidence offered may be received. Testimony and evidence given in this hearing should be of the quality that reasonable persons rely upon in the conduct of their everyday affairs. Any evidence received shall become part of the record of the hearing. Failure to raise an issue in the hearing, either in person or in writing, with sufficient specificity to afford the approving authority and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, precludes appeal to LUBA based upon that issue. Pursuant to Oregon Statute 197.796, at the failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. After all testimony has been heard, the Planning Commission will have an opportunity to ask questions of the parties. The hearing will then be closed and discussion limited to members of the Planning Commission and staff. The Planning Commission will be a recommending body for this hearing. The request is considered administrative and the decision can be made wholly and entirely by the Planning Commission unless it is appealed during the appointed appeal period. Upon the filing of an appeal, the application will be placed on the agenda for Winston City Council to make a decision. Does everyone understand the hearing procedures as I have described them?
Yes.
Please note that these hearings are being tape recorded. This is to provide a full record of the hearing. So it is important that only one person speak at a time and only after being recognized. After you have been recognized, please begin by clearly stating your name and resident address for the record. I will now open the hearing for the request for the 16-unit multifamily development planning department file number 22-W007. Party status. We will now establish for the record those persons who have party status in this hearing. For the record, I will note that the applicant and the city each have party status. Is there anyone present who is an affected agency or owns property within 150 feet of the subject property who wants party status? Is there anyone who may be specially, personally, adversely, and substantially affected by the outcome of this proceeding who believes they are entitled to party status? Has staff received any written request for party status?
No, Madam Chair, but we do have the applicant's engineer. We would request that he stand and state his name and address so he can be qualified as a party. Mr. Keller.
I'm Matt Keller with Pinnacle Engineering. We were the engineers involved with putting together the plan for this project. So,
go ahead and state your address.
3329 Northeast Stevens Street, Roseburg, 97470.
Thank you.
Okay. The Planning Commission is concerned that this hearing be fair to all parties, both in substance and in appearance. Therefore, it is important that we establish for the record that all members of the Commission are able to hear and decide this request in a fair and objective manner. Do any members of the Commission have a financial interest in the property which is the subject of this hearing?
No.
No.
Do any members stand to gain or lose any financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
Have any members discussed this matter with the appellate or any other interested party prior to the start of this hearing? Have any commission members met as a group to discuss this matter prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
No.
Do any members wish to disclose any facts which might create the appearance that they may have a conflict of interest or are otherwise unable to participate in this hearing in a fair and objective manner?
No.
Does any party have an objection to any of the planning commissioners participating in this hearing? Now that the Planning Commission has been qualified, we will proceed with the hearing. Will the Development Director please present the written staff report?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, members of the audience. Prior to entering the staff report and the exhibits into the record, can I have the Planning Commission confirm that Mr. Keller has party status?
Confirm.
Yes.
Thank you. Staff would also like to clarify that this particular project and application is administrative in nature and Planning Commission makes the decision. They are not the recommending body unless it is appealed and then it will be placed on the agenda for City Council to take up. But upon your approval or denial tonight, a subsequent findings of fact will need to be filed and then an appeal period of 15 days will need to be facilitated. So I'd like to enter staff reports 1-7 into the record. I'm going to hand staff exhibits 1-3 and 4-7 because you already all have copies of staff exhibit number 3. It's the staff report. The applicant, Ronnie Raymond, is requesting the approval of a conditional use permit for the 16-unit multifamily complex. The subject property is designated 16 dwelling units per acre, being high density and zoned to that effect. It is not currently subject to any overlays. The property is located off Southeast Gregory and has a residential type development, essentially in all directions apart from the west. There is a pre-existing storage unit operation to the west, but to the north and the south are also high density residential operations. To the east is a low density type property with just a single family dwelling.
So in conjunction with that storage unit, where are we talking about this going in at?
It's to the east, so there's...
Which would be across the street.
Yeah, there's a vicinity map there just for you to reference once it gets over to you. That'll kind of help you put the location in context. But there's a strip of commercial land to the west, and we're kind of talking to the southeast of the core area. So there's a just kind of a commercial area strip all along there. Because just on the other side is Main Street. Gregory is the street just over to the east.
Oh, right there. That's
it's their kind of kitty corner from the across from the church.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is, and so it's got that pre-existing directly to the west is a adjoining property with the storage unit operation. The storage units actually are to the southwest, but it's the same property owner, just a different tax lot, and it's just additional area land for that operation. The subject property has two existing dwellings on it. That would be 150 and 148 Southeast Gregory. There are three addresses, 140 Southeast Gregory. The dwellings are located on the west and the east sides of the property. Those two dwellings would be removed in conjunction with the application and the process. Some procedural findings of fact. The application was submitted and deemed complete on August 30th, 2022. Notice of the public hearing to the Planning Commission was given in accordance with Section 154.180 of the Winston Municipal Code. Notice was sent to affected property owners of record within 150 feet of the proposed request, which is a Winston Municipal Code requirement, and to service providers and government agencies on October 3rd of this year. Winston Public Works responded. Winston Dillard Water District also responded due to the level of development and the requirements to mitigate such a development. There were two things that were addressed from our Winston Public Works response: drainage and sewer. Drainage will be addressed at a later time in this staff report. We will address some of the sewer requirements at this point. Winston Public Works has required a condition in regards to the sewer connection. They're going to require connecting pipe on a sewer manhole, and for it to be a flexible, gasketed, and unrestrained joint within 18 inches of the manhole. There is a specific schematic they're supposed to use. That's RD338. I believe the applicant and their engineers are acclimated to that requirement. The specific documents on how that connection is supposed to be facilitated can be acquired from Winston Public Works. There was a condition of approval associated with that directly mitigates that from that respect. The applicant property owner will be required to extend the six-inch sewer main line that substantially conforms to the preliminary conceptual plan. The connection pipe on the city of Winston sanitary manhole shall be a flexible gasketed, essentially reflects that requirement. The applicant property owner shall also be advised that beyond the connection location adjacent to the public right-of-way, the sewer facilities are private. Essentially, the reason why we need to clarify that is this is not a subdivision. It's not parcels and a partition. The land will remain consistent in one property ownership. So beyond our manhole and our connection, it goes on to private property, so it would remain private. So if there's an issue with the 6-inch sewer line beyond that, it would be a private situation. If there's an issue with our connection or our manhole, it would be a city responsibility. So, the subject property has direct access onto Southeast Gregory Drive. We have essentially went over some of those intricacies. The Winston-Dillard Water District did respond that they want a master meter in the right-of-way that they have access to, but in a similar fashion, anything beyond their connection and their master meter will be private because of the underlying ownership. The subject property, we've kind of went over the fact that it has two dwelling units that will need to be demoed because they are using the full capacity and maximizing the whole area of the property. Essentially, we have went through the comprehensive plan findings of fact and the conditional use permit and the compatibility criteria that is housed in the staff report. I would like to go through the conditions of approval and read them on the record. There are 15 of them, if the body of...
Can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
On those two dwellings that are on the property, are they vacant or are they occupied right now?
That I don't... I believe they're being rented, is my understanding.
I think one of them is, the other one may not.
Okay.
So how is that being remedied? Are we just... They got to find another place to live?
That would be a civil situation. But if we are going to tack on the development requirements, they are going to have to figure out a way to
mitigate it,
vacate those structures.
Okay.
Based on whatever the civil law that impacts those types of things.
Okay, I didn't know if that had been.
I would just be guessing, but they would have to give a notice, of course, on what's going to happen with the property and give ample time, I'm sure.
Right.
But I would just be. I can only surmise based on my experience that there's a process like that.
Okay.
And that is something that we can ask, but the property owner and an applicant does not have to tell us because it has no bearing on.
Yeah, I was just wondering if they were vacant now or if they were still occupied.
Sure. Yeah, they're older houses, definitely older from a structural standpoint. We couldn't get into all the assessor's office information because they are currently transferring to a new system, a new iWork system. So some of their data is not available. So I don't know the dates of the housing units, but we did a site visit and they look older, most definitely. So in conclusion, based upon the findings outlined above and the appropriate and reasonable conditions of approval, the proposed conditional use permit, staff asserts that it meets the code criteria with the offsetting of the conditions of approval. If Planning Commission approves the conditional use permit and adopts the findings, we would suggest and highly recommend these following conditions. The applicant property owner shall submit concurrence to the City of Winston regarding the Department of Environmental Quality 1200C process. Any relevant documentation related to the 1200C application process shall be submitted to the City for verification purposes. What that is once you get into over a certain amount of yardage or an acre and you're putting in storm or you're putting in different stuff like that, then there's actually a DEQ state permit you have to do. We have to make sure they're getting that. That condition directly correlates with that. We need to see it. And a lot of times we see it anyway because the 1200C DEQ permit requires local sign-off. So they have to bring it to us. We have to sign it off. And sometimes we catch developments because they need that. We're like, whoa, you need our local permits too, right? So that particular permit is important moving forward for the development. Number two, the applicant property owner shall submit an access permit application from Winston Public Works. And if such improvements are necessary to the access entrance, the property owner will be required to submit verification that the improvements have been completed per their specifications. Now that has to do with the apron, the access point coming off Gregory. We're talking about 16 units, so it may need to be improved to meet safety standards. That'll be something. So we have an access and right-of-way activity permit that comes from Public Works. They'll need to pull that and file it. That's what that condition is for. Number three, the applicant property owner shall provide the City of Winston with an irrevocable offer to participate in future local improvement districts that affect the property directly related to the potential future improvements of Southeast Gregory Drive and sidewalks along the public right-of-way. We have a road that's subgrade, right? So it's not necessarily their fault. So we're not going to say improve your portion of the road. We will go through in the future and try to do a road project. However, There is such a thing called a local improvement district, right? This document puts them on the hook in the future if we want to create a local improvement district. Everybody that uses the road gets to contribute. And we actually get to recoup some of the financial detriment from that. So that is a document we can release to them. They need to sign in front of a notary and record with the county clerk. And the way that they sign off that condition, or are we satisfied, is they give us a copy of the recorded document. Number four, the applicant property owner shall irrevocably offer to dedicate a 5-foot strip of land along the western property line, approximately 109.83 feet, and shall provide a copy of the recorded document to the city of Winston. What we identified, and this often happens in our research, Southeast Gregory does not meet the width requirement of the city standards.
Right.
It's 40 feet and it's supposed to be 50, right? We can't ask for 10, we have to ask for 5 from both sides. So we're asking for a dedication of a 5-foot strip so that if we want to improve it in the future and widen it, we have the area, we have the dedicated area. So that's what that condition is in regards. Condition number 5, the applicant property owner shall submit a drainage analysis prepared by a licensed registered engineer that fully illustrates how runoff will be affected. The required analysis must show pre and post cubic foot per second runoff, data and solutions on how increased runoff can be mitigated on site. That condition correlates directly with condition number 6, the applicant property owner shall be required to install drainage utilities that will fully mitigate drainage impacts directly associated with the proposed development in accordance with the specifications by the licensed engineer. The applicant must submit a certification by the licensed engineer indicating that installation has been done per their specifications. Now, I read that fast. I'll give you a quick watered down reason why that should be. They're adding a lot of impervious surface. The rain is doing X now. It's going to be doing Y then. It has to go somewhere. We can't adversely affect neighboring properties. That's why we have storm systems. Part of the reason why we have those. We add streets, we add houses, we add surfacing areas, parking lots. Now the rain is going to have to go somewhere. So they have to, number one, figure out, Mr. Keller and his operation has to figure out what's the runoff doing now and what's it going to be doing after your development. If there's an increase, then tell us what you're doing to mitigate that. Are you putting catch basins in and a pipe that runs to the street to our storm system? That's important to do. So those conditions are going to address those requirements. And they're fairly straightforward. And exhibit number 7 is the engineered plan. And I believe they already have a way that they're addressing drainage and storm. Any questions before I continue? Okay. Condition number 7, the applicant property owner is required to install a durable dust-free surface of asphalt concrete, Portland cement concrete, or concrete paver blocks that shall be a minimum of 2.5 inches over 4 inches of aggregate base. The applicant shall submit certification from a registered licensed engineer in the state of Oregon. The surfacing has been installed per the Winston Municipal Code 154.065. That's just installing your parking lot, right, for parking. It's pretty standard. Anything over, 4 dwelling units requires a, or anything residential related requires that 1.5 per over the 4 inches of aggregate.
So we're talking 16 units, so we're looking at 24 parking spaces.
Right. Yeah, because it's 1.5 per space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the next condition. Is condition number 8 is they have to clearly identify and mark out 24 9x18 parking spaces along with 2 ADA parking spaces. And we need to check, we may have to modify that condition, up to 1 to 25 units may only require 1. So we'll clarify that, definitely. Number 9, the applicant property owner shall replace the storm piping system where the property fronts Southeast Gregory Drive and the necessary catch basin to adequately ensure drainage can be fully mitigated. So there's a very old and an extreme disrepair catch basin that is just adjacent to the property. And the storm pipe that runs along Southeast Gregory that catches everything on the property is an old corrugated pipe, very old and in disrepair. Those are gonna have to be replaced in order to mitigate the impacts of the development. We talked about that tonight, Ron, on the phone. Number 10, the applicant property owner shall be required to utilize RD 302 in regards to any street cut activities. RD 302 is a fancy name for saying there's a specific way that the city of Winston is going to allow you to do street cuts. They have to do a street cut to replace that pipe. They have to do street cuts for other things, which is literally cutting into the street, right? There's a very specific way you can do it. It's on plans called an RD 302. We give them those and we say, do it like this. That's essentially all that this condition is saying. Very important that they follow that. The necessary document can be acquired from the Winston Public Works Department. Number 11, the applicant property owner shall be advised that any drainage facilities are private beyond the connection adjacent to the public right-of-way. Very important to have that advisory statement in there because we want to make it clear that is private property. Number 12, the applicant property owner will be required to extend so that was translated from the above response from Public Works. It was translated to the conditions. So we read that into the record earlier. The applicant property owner shall be advised that beyond the connection located adjacent to the public right-of-way, the sewer facilities will be private, right? Number 14, the applicant property owner shall install landscaping that meets the Winston Municipal Code requirements located in section 154.068. The applicant shall submit documentation from Winston Public Works that the installation has been fully satisfied. So multifamily, there's some landscaping required. You want it beautified, perfected, all right? So there's some requirements there. Number 15, and this is the condition, the last condition that kind of perfects the file. If they finish all the rest of the conditions, then this would be the last condition that they would pull that would perfect this file to where they can carry out the development. Prior to final approval, the applicant property owner shall submit a planning clearance worksheet along with the associated grading and sewer utility application for each individual multifamily structure. I believe there are three of them, so we would need three separate permits for that. In conclusion, the proposed conditional use permit substantially conforms with the applicable criteria in chapters 153 and 154 of the Winston Municipal Code and the applicable criteria of the Winston Comprehensive Plan to warrant tentative approval. The Planning Commission may adopt the findings of the staff report, or there are alternatives 2 and 3. Alternative 1 is the one I just read to you, that you approve the staff report and adopt the findings and the associated conditions. Alternative number 2 is that you can approve the findings as well as the conditions, and you can add or modify additional conditions or existing conditions. Number 3 is that you request a continuance or you deny the conditional use permit.
Has everything up to this point, every piece of paper, everything that the city's requested, has everything been done up to this point of us making this decision?
Oh yeah, we can't be on the agenda unless it is.
Okay,
it is frivolous to place it before the body of this unless we have everything tied up from a procedural standpoint. So we always want to make sure that that's the case. So we put something on the agenda that's worthy of your time. That concludes my staff report. Thank you, Madam Chair. There is a sample motion at the end for, in case you want to entertain that.
I move to accept the staff report for alternative one.
Sorry, Mr. Commissioner, we would have to finish the process of the public hearing. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Conclude the public hearing process, and then you can take a vote on it.
Does the applicant wish to present any testimony here, but is there anything that you wish to add to the meeting?
The only thing I would add would be, we've already got pre-development plans and kind of already address all of those conditions, so a few of them are new, but not uncommon, so not unexpected.
Any parties who wish to speak in favor of the application? Are there any parties who wish to speak in opposition to the application?
You can skip the final questions, Madam Chair. Yep.
Does the Planning Commission or staff have any questions that we need to address?
Once the schedules, time schedules have been met. Do you have a start and a completion date set or not?
Not until we get some type of approval.
Right.
Can't really get qualified bids until we get approval. So once we have that, then we can sit down and pencil out our schedule. But
I didn't know if you had a approximation of how long that size of a unit would take to put up.
Not without further thought, but you know, I think the thought would be construction next spring or construction season. Meanwhile, getting as much site work done as possible before that time, with that, you know, anticipated completion before the next fall.
So basically about a year.
Yeah.
Which is reasonable for a development of this magnitude, in my opinion. There's a lot of moving parts to it, so it's gonna. But the bid process does change things in some regards. So it kind of depends on who puts bids in and what they are.
Well, I went and looked at the site, and you know, I looked at kind of some of the surrounding areas, and I noticed, you know, there are some things that are very old on Gregory, and there are some things that are newer, and so it's kind of almost like it's trying to revitalize itself on Gregory. So,
yep,
that's which I kind of like seeing in the city, in the older parts of our city, you know.
Yeah,
that's happening.
We did a site visit too, and that's exactly how I would characterize that area. You have newer things, but you have kind of older. One thing that we'd like to see is all of the infrastructure. Newer and improved, and that may be coming in the future. That's something.
You mentioned that the road was narrower than I thought. It seemed like it was pretty narrow going through there.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's so old in that area, right?
Yeah. The requirement for the right-of-way width that we have today, they didn't have then. Also, if you go about 80 to 100 feet north, it's 45 feet, so it drops down. Once it gets about 80 feet north of the property to 40. The normal, so we're applying the standard of a residential street, right? So a residential street has the requirement of a 52-foot right-of-way width, but that's with a 6-foot sidewalk. Planning Commission has traditionally approved a 5-foot sidewalk in residential areas, which is ample. So 50 is where you land. And so whenever we have projects like this in these types of areas, we always have to have them dedicate. Area so we can improve it in the future, and we don't have to necessarily go out and go through the detrimental efforts of hiring right-of-way acquisition teams, those types of things, just to get the area we need to improve the road to its standard that it should be.
And once the hearing is closed, there can be no further testimony received without reopening the hearing. Is there a motion to now close the hearing and begin discussion by the Planning Commission?
Madam Chair, can I emphasize the fact that however we like to hear you talk, Matt, if there's a motion to close, there can be no more discussion between you and the applicant. That renders you mute.
Can't speak anymore.
Got it.
Yeah, nothing. No further evidence can go on the record, and unfortunately anything you say can be counted as evidence into the record, so it would be confined to just the body. So if there is any further questions or discussion, we would recommend that you flush those out with Mr. Keller at this point.
Do I have a motion to close?
Well, do you have any questions for us or anything you want to say as far as when your plan, you know, once this is approved, if it's approved and everything, that start date of reworking the property and taking the old structures out?
We can put together a schedule for you guys if that's something that you would like as a condition. I'm not sure the current owner's property, if he's already started taking those steps to eviction.
That's not necessary. I was just curious if you thought, I know it's hard to make a time frame when we're at this point, but
right.
Of how soon after, once it comes up to the point to where you may gain approval. Are you ready to start the next day?
So we would probably have to revise our plans and to meet the conditions completely, start permit process with the Department of Environmental Quality, which is who controls the 1200 seat permit. So there would probably be some months of time before we could get everything ready for permitting purposes. So there would be some time there to be able to handle those items. Of course, I'm not apprised as to what time frame that would require.
Right.
I know it has been adjusted the past couple of years due to the pandemic circumstances, so I'm not sure if any of those are still applicable either.
Plus, we're moving into the holiday season, and everything slows down during that as well.
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that you would not have timeline at this point.
From a procedural standpoint, for the benefit of the commission, so depending on your decision tonight, if you do entertain approval with the conditions, we would have to come back subsequently at the next planning commission meeting, have findings of fact for you to approve on how this meeting was facilitated and what your decision was. And after that's approved, then an appeal period of 15 days would have to be ran. Then they would technically have a tentative approval that they can start doing condition fulfillment.
And then we're looking at about the end of November, first part of December.
We have a meeting November 9th, and depending on your decision, we could place them on that agenda.
Oh, okay.
Anything further? All right, I have a motion to close the hearing.
So moved. Second.
Any opposed?
Approve alternative number one.
I move to accept staff report and alternative number one and adopt the findings of the staff report to approve the proposed 16-unit multifamily complex planning file number 22-W007, subject to the associated conditions of approval. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Any other business tonight? Anything for the good of the order? I know you're going to have something to say.
No, we have a meeting on the 9th as of.
Yep.
And that's our next meeting,
that
right?
That is our next.
Yes, indeed. November 9th. The way it looks now, we will have two items on that agenda. We will have findings of fact due to this hearing and these proceedings. We will also have a conditional use permit and a public hearing. Okay. I believe you've received materials on that. However, we can't discuss it this evening.
So there's nothing else, right?
Right.
Make a motion to close the planning commission meeting at 7:39.
We are closed.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
You bet. Thank you.